All right, let's jump into something you probably don't think much about. Electrical installation.
Yeah, they're kind of just there, right?
But we're going deep, specifically on how Belgium does things.
And it gets pretty fascinating.
No, you don't need to be an electrician to appreciate this. Trust me.
It's about safety, technology. Even human biology sneaks in there.
We've got this dense document, all technical, recently updated on their regulations.
It reveals a lot about how Belgium approaches electricity.
Yeah, they're serious about safety and getting it to work right.
So this is like your cheat sheet to the coolest parts.
Definitely not just light switches and outlets.
We're talking producing, transforming, using energy, the whole shebang.
At low and very low voltages. So all sorts of settings.
But here's what's interesting. What it doesn't cover.
Oh, okay, like what?
So stuff run by network operators, that's out. And anything on ships.
Huh. So that suggests it's really focused on
buildings, private spaces, where regular people are.
Makes sense. Right. Keep the public safe. Mm. But how do they actually do that?
Well, one key thing is conventional voltage limits.
Limits, like you can't go above a certain...
Exactly. But it's not just some random number.
Oh.
There's tons of research behind it. How much voltage can a human body take?
Okay, so their eye is a point where it gets dangerous.
For sure. And this is where it gets cool. Those limits change.
They do. Based on what?
Like, is your skin dry, wet, even underwater? Big difference.
So that's why the hairdryer has that warning about water.
Exactly. The regulations take real life into account.
Huh. Never thought of it that way. Makes those labels more serious now.
It's all about practical stuff, you know, not just vague rules.
All right, so before we get too deep, some key terms. What's nominal voltage?
Think of it like the voltage the system should be at, normally.
So the intended speed limit for the electricity.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
But what stops it from going crazy causing damage then?
That's where stuff like earth electrodes comes in.
Electrodes. Sounds intense.
Basically, it's conductive, buried in the ground. Creates a path.
A path for what?
If there's a fault, the current can flow back to the source safely.
So like a safety valve. Redirecting things if it goes wrong.
You got it. Now, equipotential zones. They sound scarier than they are.
Zones. Like...
areas?
Yeah. Areas where the electrical potential is kept super low.
To prevent...
shocks. Like, imagine you're in the bathroom.
Touching the sink and a pipe at the same time. Bad combo, right?
Right. Equipotential zone makes sure there's minimal difference between them.
So even if there's a fault, you're less likely to get zapped.
Exactly. Especially important where water and electricity can meet.
What other safety stuff is there?
We got separation transformers. They isolate the circuit.
From the ground.
Yep. Adds another layer of protection against shocks.
So even if there is a fault, the electricity can't reach you.
Ideally, no. Then there's short circuit current. That's a big one.
Short circuit. Like when things spark and...
Kind of. It's a sudden SRG of electricity.
Caused by...
a fault that creates a low resistance path. Imagine a traffic jam, but electrical. Everything trying to squeeze through one tiny spot.
Yeah, that can overheat things, damage them, even start fires.
Yikes. Okay, so how do these regulations actually make things safer?
Well, one way is by classifying equipment. Different classes, different rules.
Rules about.
Grounding and insulation. Make sure it can handle problems.
Okay, can you give me an example of how that works?
Sure. Say you've got a washing machine. That's class one.
Class, I mean.
It relies on basic insulation and a connection to the earth.
That earth electrode we were talking about.
The one and only. So if the insulation fails...
the current goes to the ground, not through you.
Oh, backup plan. But then there's class two, even tougher.
Like double the protection.
Basically. Double insulation, no earth connection needed.
A lot of power tools are like that, right?
Exactly. Depends on the equipment and what it's for.
And what about RCDs? Those seem important.
Residual current devices? Oh, yeah, they're lifesavers, especially in bathrooms.
Why bathrooms specifically?
Think about it. Water, electricity, not a good mix. RCDs are super sensitive.
So they can detect even a small
leakage, and they cut the power instantly.
Wow, so it's not just about the big faults, but the little ones too.
Right, and you wouldn't believe the detail these regulations go into.
Wow.
Like even the wrong screw in the wrong spot could be a hazard.
Seriously?
Yeah, they specify exactly what kind of fastener to use.
That's some serious attention to detail.
Yeah.
Shows how much thought goes into it.
Like a puzzle. Gotta get every piece right for the whole thing to be safe.
Speaking of pieces, what about the actual wiring in a building?
They're picky about that too. Placement, materials, protection.
Protection from what?
Damage mostly, They cover all sorts of scenarios, the usual and the weird.
Weird like?
Running wires underwater or through hollow spaces in the structure.
Underwater? Seriously, where would you even do that?
Swimming pools sometimes if you've got underwater lights.
Well, right.
Yeah. Or outdoor fountains, ponds with electrical stuff. Gotta be careful.
Starting to see how thorough these regulations are.
And it doesn't stop there. Underground cables. At least 0.60 meters deep.
Really? That deep?
Unless you've got some other protection in place, yeah. Almost 2 feet.
Never would have thought about that being regulated. Makes sense, though.
Protect them from damage, keep them working for a long time.
So it's not just about the stuff we see, it's what's hidden, too.
Exactly. Anticipate the problems before they happen. That's the key.
Now, this document's got to be super technical, right? But it's not just words, is it?
You're right. They've got a whole language of symbols, too.
Symbols for what?
All the different electrical components and how they're installed.
So, like, a universal language. Electricians can understand no matter what.
You got it. And it's not random. They all mean specific things.
So, like, a light switch has its own symbol, but...
But you can modify it to show different types of switches?
Huh. So much detail goes into even a simple thing like that.
And that's just the start. They've got symbols for everything.
Look what... Give me some examples.
Circuit breakers, fuses, RCDs, wiring. Even solar panels have their own symbol.
It's like a secret code.
Well, not so secret, but you got to know what you're looking at.
So this is important for anyone working with these systems, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Designers, installers, inspectors. Got to speak the language.
Okay, so speaking of inspectors, how do they make sure people follow these rules?
It's not enough to just say you followed them. Got to prove it.
So inspections are a big deal.
Huge. Before anything can be used, a recognized organization has to check it.
Like a third party, make sure everything's up to code.
Exactly. And they don't mess around. It's a serious inspection.
What do they actually DO during the inspection?
They go through everything, write up a detailed report, note any problems.
So there's a record of it in case something happens later.
Exactly. And those reports, they have to be kept for 5 years.
Wow. They really have thought of everything, haven't they?
When it comes to electrical safety, Belgium doesn't play around.
It's impressive how much goes into making sure these installations are safe.
It's about more than just the rules. It's about a whole culture of safety.
And we've only just scratched the surface.
There's so much more to uncover about this world, but that's for next time.
Back again. So, in part one, we started decoding those symbols they use in Belgium.
For electrical installations, right?
Yeah. What other interesting ones are there?
Remember those tricky situations, like extra safety needed? Some symbols are for that.
Oh, okay. Like what?
For instance, equipment that goes in hazardous locations.
Hazardous, like dangerous.
Exactly. Places where there might be flammable stuff, explosions, that kind of thing.
Oh, right. Like factories, maybe?
Yeah. Industrial settings, often. The regulations are super strict for those.
Makes sense. You don't want a tiny spark to cause a huge problem.
Right. And the symbols themselves. They have extra markings.
To show they're safe to use in those spots.
Exactly. You might see X inside a hexagon. That's a common one.
So just by looking, an electrician knows.
This thing can handle being around volatile stuff.
It's all about preventing those accidents, even in tough spots.
Exactly. But it's not just about avoiding danger. Energy efficiency matters too.
Oh, right. That's a big topic these days.
And Belgium's on it. They have rules for how you install lighting.
To make sure you've got enough light.
But you're not wasting energy. It's smart.
So it's safety and sustainability all in one.
They go together, really. And that sustainability thinking, it shows up in other places too.
Like where?
Think about electric car chargers. Those are everywhere now.
Yeah, for sure. What about them?
Regulations cover those too.
I'd imagine they have their own unique challenges, right?
Right, for sure. One big thing is the amount of current involved.
Because those batteries need a lot of juice to charge up.
Exactly. So the rules cover how you design the charging points, the wiring, all that.
To make sure it can handle that much electricity safely.
Exactly. Plus, they have to be clearly marked signs and stuff.
So people know how to use them properly.
It's not just about installing it. It's the whole setup around it.
The infrastructure has to be ready to handle it, too.
Exactly. And here's a fun one. They have to have a device to prevent something specific.
Oh. What's that?
The car driving off while it's still plugged in.
Ah, that makes sense. I can see that could cause problems.
Damage, accidents, all that. It's a small detail, but important.
It's fascinating how they've got rules for everything.
Yeah.
From the old stuff to the new stuff.
It's a pretty comprehensive system. And remember those underground cables?
Yeah, the ones buried deep.
Got their own guidelines, too. Got to make sure they're installed right.
So they don't get damaged, I guess.
Right. Deep enough, protected from the elements, all that.
It's crazy how much thought goes into stuff we never even see.
But it's all connected, you know? That whole underground network keeps things running.
And safe, hopefully. It seems like these regulations are always changing, keeping up with technology.
Oh, absolutely. It's not a one-time thing. They update it all the time.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
What worked 10 years ago might not be good enough today.
New tech, new applications for electricity. It's always evolving.
So it's a living document, always changing to keep up with the times.
You could say that, yeah. Always trying to find that balance.
Between
progress and safety and sustainability, you know.
Yeah.
It's a challenge.
It's impressive how Belgium handles it all. They seem really committed to doing it right.
I think they've got a good system going. It's not just about the bare minimum. It's about aiming high.
All right. So we've covered a lot in these two parts.
Terminology, safety stuff, symbols, those unique situations.
It's been fascinating. But I have a feeling there's even more to learn.
Oh, there definitely is. Part three, we're going to get into some really specific examples.
Can't wait. All right. So we've talked about safety measures, those cool symbols, even electric cars. But what other weird situations do these regulations in Belgium cover?
Let's go for a swim, literally. Swimming pools.
Cools. What's so special about those?
Think about it. Lights underwater, pumps, filters, all right next to water.
Yeah, that does seem kind of risky, mixing electricity and water.
But that's where these regulations shine. Safety first, even in a pool.
So they have thought about this.
Oh, yeah. They're super specific about the equipment, the wiring, the grounding.
Grounding meaning?
Making sure the electricity has a safe path to the ground if something goes wrong.
Ah, right. So it doesn't zap someone in the water.
Exactly. And get this. Outlets near the pool? They need RCDs, the extra sensitive kind.
Even more sensitive than, like, in my bathroom.
Yep. Gotta be extra careful when water's involved.
So it's not just about general safety. It's really tailored to the situation.
That's the beauty of it. Each environment has its own quirks, you know.
Okay, are there any other surprising places with special rules?
How about a sauna? Get nice and sweaty.
Saunas? What's electrical about those?
Well, you got lights, temperature controls, maybe even music playing.
Oh, right. I never thought about how that stuff would handle the heat.
And the humidity. It's tough on electronics.
So what do they do?
Simple. Anything installed in a sauna has to be built for it.
Built to withstand the heat.
Yep. High temperatures, moisture, can't let it become a hazard.
So even when I'm relaxing, I can trust those systems are safe.
Exactly. It's about peace of mind, knowing someone's thought about this stuff.
It's really impressive how many different situations they've planned for.
It shows they're serious about electrical safety. Not just checking boxes, but truly thinking it through.
And we know these rules aren't set in stone. They change as technology changes, right?
You got it. Always adapting, trying to stay ahead of the curve.
So what do you think the future holds for these regulations?
That's a good one. As tech gets more advanced, things will have to keep up.
Like what kind of things?
Well, we've got smart homes getting more popular. Energy storage is a big one.
Right. And what about AI, robots? All that stuff needs electricity too.
Exactly. So we might see whole new sections in the regulations dedicated to that stuff.
It's kind of exciting to think about how these rules will shape how we use electricity in the future.
Definitely. It's all about finding that balance. Innovation, but keeping people safe.
Seems like Belgium's doing a good job so far.
I'd say so. They're really setting a good example for how to do it right.
So, as we wrap up our deep dive into all this,
What's
the big takeaway for our listeners?
I think it's more than just the specific rules, you know. It's a mindset. Safety comes first.
Right. It's not just about blindly following regulations.
It's about understanding why they're there. The thinking behind them.
Whether you're an electrician or just someone living their life, We all use electricity.
Exactly. So having this awareness, knowing the risks, it helps us make better choices.
The next time I turn on a light, I'm going to be thinking about all this stuff now.
That's the goal. Just a little appreciation for what goes into keeping us safe.
We've learned so much in this deep dive. It's been fascinating. Thank you.
You're welcome. Glad we could shed some light on this, pun intended.
All right, everyone. Stay curious, stay informed, and most importantly, stay safe.